letters from the high priest to go to Damascus in Syria. And he was going to synagogue looking for Jews who had accepted Christ as their Savior. And he was going to bind them, arrest them, and bring them to Jerusalem to kill them. When Christians were killed, he would give his voice against them. Amen. And on his way, he was on the road to Damascus. And one of the most astounding things in the history of the world took place. Sometimes you can be on a road and you think can't nobody stop you. But I tell you, it's one who sits high and looks low. He can stop you. Mr. and Mrs. Big Stuff, don't get so high, don't get so big. You think God can't stop you. Is that all right? Well, he was on the road to Damascus, and suddenly there was a light brighter than the noonday sun. And the sun at noontime is at its zenith, is at its highest point. This light was brighter than the noonday sun. And this light knocked Saul and all of his companions to the earth. There was a voice that came out of that light speaking in the Hebrew tongue and said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now, to kick against the prick, that statement is an agricultural statement. And it's used because Israel was an agricultural nation. And this prick was a pointed shaft that was used to jab or stick the oxen to control it. But sometime, you know, the oxen would be so rebellious, you could jab him with that pointed edge and he still wouldn't respond. And sometime that ox would kick back at the prick. But whenever he kicked back at the prick, he would cause the prick to go deeper into his flesh and injure him, and he suffered on a deeper level. Now he's using that to make a point. That is, whenever you're rebelling against God, you're like an ox kicking against a sharp point. Whenever you rebel against God, you are going deeper and deeper into sin, and you are hurting yourself, because the way of the transgressor is hard. Everybody who's rebelling against God, you may think you're having a good time and you letting your hair down and you can't be with the one you want or the one you love, love the one you're with. You might be saying, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. If being right means being without you, I'd rather be wrong than right. Is that all right? Your mama and daddy tell you, it's no future in loving a married man. If I can't see you when I want to, I'll see you when I can. Yes, is that all right? Yes. But in doing that, you are kicking against the prick. Yes, sir. You are driving the point deeper and deeper. Yeah. Everybody in this world, whether they acknowledge it or not, you're disobeying God. You're kicking against the prick. What you doing, you may be doing it in secret. Nobody know but you. But you're kicking against the prick. Paul was in trying to destroy the church, was rebelling against God. Amen. And was injuring and hurting himself. And then he asks He was astonished and amazed. You see, things can happen in your life that make you sit down and just wonder, what in the world's going on? I never thought I'd be in this situation. Who told you you wouldn't be in it? Is that all right? He said, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. And then Jesus explained to him why he appeared to him. He appeared to him, number one, to save his soul. And number two, he appeared to him to put him into the ministry. He had a work for him to do. Sometime you may feel like, I got goals, but don't let your goals be bigger than God's goals. Amen. Amen. And so when we come to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and church, this, have you ever wondered why the Bible spends so much space to this man's conversion? Three times in the New Testament, his conversion is recorded. Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22, Acts chapter 26. And also, we have a reference to it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. You know why this conversion is talked about so much? Because it is one of the most signal, or one of the most important events in the New Testament that explains to us that Christianity is true. And two of the major proofs that establishes that Christianity is true is, number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And number two, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. God uses him as a pattern for other sinners who need to be saved. If God could save the worst one, he could save you and I. Now, none of us in here are the worst sinner in the world. That job already been taken. Is that all right? And so, when you come to 1 Timothy chapter 1 that I read in your hearing, Paul now, his name is changed to Paul, and he explains the significance of his conversion. He said in Acts chapter 26, verses 9 and 10, that it was my thoughts to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Which things I did? He said, I persecuted them into foreign cities. I was so enraged. I hated them so. I was determined to wipe them off the face of the earth. I didn't just think about doing it. I did it. And Christ stopped him. Saved him. Put him into the ministry. And now look how he took him off one road. Put him on another road. And changed his goal. You see, when you get saved, your goal's supposed to change. You don't get baptized and go back to living the same way you used to live. You got to have new goals and new aims and new purposes. Right. Is that all right? Amen. So he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, and I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. Before, his attitude was, I ought to do many things contrary to his name. Now he has an attitude of gratitude. He said, who hath enabled me? He strengthened me. I want to tell you this morning, whether you ever acknowledge or give him thanks, the Lord strengthened you. Amen. To get up this morning. Amen. You ever been sick? The Lord strengthened you to get well. You ever had a bad day and you had a better day? The Lord helped you to have a better day. You ever been broken? Now you got a little money. The Lord help you to get that money. If you ever been by yourself and found somebody that you love and they love you back, I wish I had some help here. The Lord help you. Amen. To do that. He said, I thank Christ Jesus who hath enabled me in that he counted me faithful. You see, God can see something in you when you out there doing your thing. God can see stuff in us that other folks can't see. Huh? Is that right? Like the song said, he saw the best in me when everybody else saw the worst in me. Can you relate to that? And sometimes God has to take you off one road, put you on another road, and then change your goals. Is that all right? He said, I thank Christ Jesus who hath enabled me, counted me faithful, for he put me into the ministry. That is, he called him to be an apostle. He called him to be a gospel preacher. He gave him the gift of inspiration. He gave him divine revelation. He gave him supernatural power where he could go all over the world proclaiming the gospel that he tried to destroy. Then he said, who was before, in verse 13, he said, who was before a blasphemer? You see, everybody got a past. Amen. Y'all better come on here. You ain't always been this pretty. Everybody got a past. I would even say all of us here have done something. We don't want nobody else to know about. Come on up. I guess I'm the only one, Jesus. Is that all right? Everybody has a past. And don't you go looking in my closet. Because if you do, I might start looking in yours. Is that all right? Everybody has. How many can say this morning what I was before? But I'm not what I used to be. Is that all right? He said, before I was a blasphemer. That literally means I engage in stupid speech. Because whenever you blaspheme against God, that's stupid. When you speak against God, that's foolish. Is that all right? He said, not only was I a blasphemer, he said, I was a persecutor. I hurt people. I went out of my way to hurt people. And then he said, I was injurious. I was an insolent man. Insolent means one who is very disrespectful in behavior as well as speech. I killed people. I injured people. I beat people. When they were killed, I spoke to have it done. I tried to single-handedly, Brother West, I tried to single-handedly destroy the Church of Christ. I tried to single-handedly destroy the plan of salvation. If anybody preached the plan of salvation, I arrested them. I put them in jail. And I said they ought to be killed. And what he did, these were enormous sins. Now sometimes people have the idea that, well, sin is just sin. Well, that's a misnomer. There are some sins worse than others. Amen. Did y'all hear what I said? Well, Brother Moss, you're going to have to put, people say, well, you know, sin is just sin. Don't fall for that. Some sins are worse than others. Amen. Y'all still ain't looking at me right. Come on up,
please. Well, I didn't give you some Bible. I don't give you no script. I don't give you no lip. Can't give me no script.
That's it.
Turn your Bibles to John 19:11. Yeah. Then we're going to go to 1 Timothy 5:8. Come up here, Brother Wyatt. Help me out now. Let's go to the Gospel of John 19:11. I want to show you that some sins worse than others. Amen.
John chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus answered,
watch this.
Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above.
Watch this.
Therefore he that delivered me unto thee
hath the greater sin.
Greater sin.
Isn't greater different? Some sins are worse than others. All sin leads to death.
Amen.
Let's be clear on that. But some sins are worse. Let's prove it a little further. 1 Timothy 5:8. Let's see what that says.
1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8.
Listen to this.
But enemy provide not for his
if
own.
If a man claims to be a Christian, and Toni Braxton sang in her song, love would have. I thought y'all knew that. It started off, y'all finish it up. Love would have brought you home last night. Come on.
But if any provide not for his own.
If any provide not for his own.
And especially for those of his own
and
house.
And especially for those of his own house.
He hath denied the
he
faith.
He hath denied the faith.
And is worse.
And is worse.
Than an infidel.
An infidel is an unbeliever. A Christian who does not provide for his family has denied the concept of Christianity and is worse than an unbeliever. Don't buy into the concept that all sin is sin. There is some sin. And I could give you other references, but we're not going to do it for time's sake. That proves that some sins have far greater consequences. Amen. And so Saul was attempting to destroy the church. Amen. The Bible say if you cause someone to lose their salvation, it would be better for you if a millstone was hung around your neck and you were cast into the sea and drowned. That's pretty serious, ain't it? Which lets us know we don't get in the way of people's salvation. And this man was standing in the way of people's salvation. So Smith, people were trying to be saved, and he would kill them. He would destroy them. Amen. But guess what? What's so amazing about God? God forgave him. Oh, this is so deep. God forgave him. He said, and the grace of God was exceeding abundant. God could have killed him. Christ could have killed him on the road. Instead, Christ saved him. Put him into the ministry. That blew his mind. That'll blow anybody, man. In fact, the fact that God doesn't save us ought to blow your mind. And you're on your way to heaven. You're going to live in glory forever. That don't blow your mind. Xerox can give you something better than that. IBM. AT&T. The State Department of Revenue. Internal Revenue. VA. Where else you work? You got benefits like that? Who has made you a better offer than Christ? Huh? Mercedes? No, y'all know about that. I ain't got to go back to that. Amen? Christ forgave him of his blasphemy. Christ forgave him for persecuting his people. Christ even forgave him for killing his people. Christ gave him for all the folks he beat. Christ, he would torture folks so much, Sister Angela, he would make folks blaspheme. Man, get your arm and put it behind your neck and say, Uncle! Say, Uncle, ow, ow. Man, you're going to break my arm. You better say, Uncle. Uncle. And my granduncle, too. would do people so bad, they would blaspheme. As we say, he was a lowdown man. And Christ forgave him. He forgave him. Not only forgave him, put him in the ministry. Took him off one road, put him on another road. Ain't God's grace amazing? No wonder we sing about amazing grace. Isn't that amazing? David committed adultery, had a man murdered. And guess what God did? Forgave him. He'll forgive you. He ready to forgive you. Waiting to forgive you. Because he's good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures unto all generations. Is that right? And the Bible says, watch this is a faithful saying. Worthy of all acceptation. A lot of stuff being said today ain't worth accepting. A lot of stuff you hearing, you ought to just let that mess slide right on by you. But there's something that is worthy of all acceptation. What is it? You ought to accept the fact that the Son of God was conceived in the womb of a virgin. And he was born. And the Son of God came into this world on a mission for you and me. Is that all right? And he didn't come to destroy the world. He didn't come to destroy your life. A lot of you think if you give your life to Christ, your life going to be destroyed. No, it's going to be the best life you could possibly have. He didn't come to destroy your life, but he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Greatest the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of man. He was preached unto Gentile. He was believed on in the world. He was received up into glory. He sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent him in order to save you. Do you accept that? Here's a man who said, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst one. And I'm telling you, here is a saying that is worthy of all acceptation. What is it? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And he set me forth as a pattern. He's a pattern for all of us. And what he shows is the long suffering. And you got to admit one thing. Some of us this morning got to admit one thing. God has sure been patient with you. And he still, you know you ain't doing what you're supposed to do. And you feel like, and if you feel like you haven't sinned, you're mistaken. Because all have sinned. The scripture hath concluded all under sin, according to Galatians 3:22. If you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. That's why you ought to pray every night before you go to sleep. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Don't you dare go to bed and say, well, look, I was straight today. You ain't got to forgive me for nothing today. We all sin. We all fall short. And sometimes we sin by what we do. Sometimes we sin by what we don't do. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptance. A pattern is something that is made by a strike or an impression. He said, he sent me for as a pattern of Christ's long suffering. We talked about in the Sunday school this morning, as you handle folks, you got to be gentle. If you in trouble, you want nobody just jumping down your throat. You want, if you get in trouble, you want somebody to have mercy on you. Huh? You ought to think about that man under that weight of that sin or that struggle. Amen. No matter what you've done, I'm telling you, it's hope for you. I don't care what you're struggling with, I'm telling you, it's hope for you. You might have a money problem, but with the Lord, it's going to get better. You believe that? I don't care what you're dealing with the Lord, it's going to get. Final point this morning is changing goals. Changing roles mean changing goals. I told you, a role is a course of action. A road is a course or a way. Now, all of us on some road, right? Amen. I may not be on the road you on, but I'm on a road. Amen. Now, in order to understand fully, 1 Timothy 1:15, let me say this. Jesus died for your sins. Now we can ignore that and live like we ain't got no sin. That's a mistake. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for every sin that would ever be committed in the world. When he died on the cross, he died for every sin that had been committed. He got sin covered. Amen. And so what he does, when he saved my soul, he gave me some new goals to live for. How many got some good goals for your life? Let me tell you this and I'm going to quit. We ought to have some personal goals and some spiritual goals. Is that all right? How many of y'all plan to get married? I ain't talking to you. You already married. Anybody planning to get married? Nobody? Well, how many hope to get married? Let's do it like that. Madeline, I can't get no help this morning. Well, if you plan to get married, you need some goals for your marriage. Amen? You don't just get married. What you getting married for? Well, she doesn't look good. You better look deeper than that. Well, child, he just looked like ice cream and cake to me. Might be rutabagas. You better look deeper than that. You plan to get married. You need some goals for your marriage. Y'all got to grow in that marriage. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about on that, Bernice. You hear me? Yeah, this is the voice of experience talking here, buddy. Amen. You need some goals for your health. Amen. You need some goals for your health. You don't take supplements, you better think about it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You got to get an exercise program. Huh? I try to play tennis. I don't play like I used to. Why? I don't hurt my shoulder now. I can't go. Hurt my shoulder, man. I don't know how I hurt my shoulder. Tell you, I've been taking Advil, and MSM, vitamin C, zinc. I know y'all looking at me. And Sister Juliet, that stuff you gave me, I've been rubbing that on there. Get my shoulder from hurting. Then you should have goals for your career. Amen. Where you want to be in 5 years. Amen. You ought to have goals for your career. And then you ought to have goals for your children. You ought to have goals for your family. But let me touch on these spiritual goals. When God changes your road, here's some goals all of us as Christians ought to be striving for. Number one, you ought to always be striving to understand and know the will of God. That should be a goal for you as a Christian, that I'm striving to clearly understand and know the will of God for my life. What is the will of God for your life? I need to know what that is. Number two, I should be always striving to live in such a way that I'm letting my light shine before men, and I'm glorifying God, and I am attracting other people to God by the way I live. That should be a goal, that I'm living in such a way I'm attracting other people to want to be New Testament Christian members of the Church of Christ. Is that all right? These are goals that I should be. Number three, I should be always striving to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. All of us should be striving not to do less for Christ, but more for Christ. Is that right? Be ye steadfast, what? Unmovable, always abounding, where? In the work of the Lord, for as much as you know. That's a goal, that's an aim. When God changes your roles, your road, Sam White, he changes your goal. I'm living now in a new way. I got new objectives. I got new purposes. I'm moving in a new direction. And then finally, my dear brothers and sisters, we should be always striving to make sure, you make sure that one day you arrive safely in heaven. You make sure of that. Because receiving, get from me, 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation. And that word end literally is goal. It's something. How many have heaven as a goal? Now let me tell you something. You don't have to have hell as a goal, but if you'll mess around and go if you don't straighten up. You ain't got to say, well I'm going to hell. Well, you ain't got to worry about that. That'll be taken care of for you. If you don't obey the gospel, if you don't make sure that you get to heaven, how many own GPSs? Yes, sir. The young folks got them on their phone, Claudia. Yeah. I just got one to put on my dashboard. Now they got them on the phone. I tell you why, they sure leaving me behind. Yeah, but that's all right. I put mine on my dashboard. I know how to program it, man. And I go where I want it. Y'all ain't got nothing on me. I know how to program it. Amen. I'm going somewhere in September. I got to figure out how I'm going. You hear that, Wes? But I'm going to program it. If I don't, I'll talk to you about it. You got that text, Brother White, what'd it say?
1 Peter 1:9.
Listen.
Receiving the end of your faith.
Even
the salvation of your soul.
So you make sure, my beloved, the Lord say, lay up for yourself what? What thieves cannot break through and steal. Amen. So, beloved, remember, changing roles mean changing goals. And if the Lord in his goodness, his greatness, his benevolence, his mercy, his compassion, and his grace could save the chief of sinners, there is no reason for you to miss heaven. Everybody here in this building today ought to arrive in heaven one day. There ain't no excuse for you not to go. Is that all right? You change your road, you change your goals, and one day you will arrive in heaven. We can learn a lot from Apostle Paul, can't we? Did God save him? Was he messed up? Was he on the wrong road? Did God meet him on the road? Took him off the road? Gave him new goals? Are you on the wrong road today? Do you need to get off that road? Get on a new road? Get new goals? Amen. I hear Paul saying, cupcake, I ain't always been this pretty. Is that all right? I hear Paul saying, why I was messed up. I was on the wrong road. But Jesus stopped me. A light shined round about me, brighter than the noonday sun. And it told me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. Is that all right? And now Paul said, I want to talk about the grace of God. Oh, it's so amazing. It saved the chief of sinners. Oh, it's so amazing. It turned my life around. Oh, it's so amazing. It took my feet out the miry clay and put them on solid ground. Is that all right? I just want to talk about the grace of God. I met a man named Jesus. I met him on the Damascus Road. Is that all right? I had an exchange with him. Why? I gave him my guilt. He gave me his grace. I gave him my pain. He gave me his power. I gave him my burdens. He gave me his blessings. I gave him my sorrow. He gave me his gladness. Is that all right? I gave him my setbacks. He gave me his comeback. Is that all right? I gave him my sin. Lord, he gave me my salvation. I gave him my despair. Oh, he gave me his hope. Is that all right? I met a man named Jesus. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that all right? And John said, one day, some glad morning, when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. Is that all right? John saw a great caravan of salvation moving into the New Jerusalem. Why? Is that all right? He said, I saw 144,000 from the Old Testament, from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 sealed. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 sealed. And then west, I say west. West, I don't believe you hear me. West, he saw another number that no man could number, from all people, all tongues, all kindred. So put up your calculator. Oh, you can't name it. Is that all right? And if God can take you off one road, he can put you on a new road, and he can change, Sister Fairweather, he can change your outlook. Amen. I don't live for what I used to live for. Amen. I'm like Patti LaBelle. I got a new attitude. Is that right? We stand on your feet, beloved. That's the message. I got a new attitude. Why, Moss? Because God took me off one road and put me on what? And in view of that, amen. I want to get off that road. I want to be saved by hearing the gospel. I believe it with all of my heart. John 3:16. I repent of my sins. Acts 17:30. I confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10. And I am baptized for the remission of my sin. Lord, you took me off a road, Lord, and put me on a new road. And you changed my outlook. And I want to thank you. Because you didn't have to love me like you did. But you did. And I thank you. If you're a child of God and you're on the wrong road, you can make it right by repenting, confessing, and praying. And say, Lord, take me off this road. Put me on a new road. Give me some new goals. And I'll be glad that you did. And when you do, you can say, let it rise. Oh, oh, come on and let it rise. Oh, yeah. Oh, come on and let it rise. Oh, come on, oh, my Lord, and let it rise. Let the Spirit, let it rise. Let the Spirit, let it rise. Let the praises to our King, let it rise. Among us, let it rise. Oh, let. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, come on and let it. Oh, let. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah. Come on and let it rock. Oh, let.